Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday. An absolutely beautiful Wednesday out there. He's Adam Harahuk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And what's even more beautiful than the weather today? The fact that the Tigers come into today 3 games out of the wild card.
Nice.
I know. I'm excited about this. Like, this is a team that I did not expect to be where it is right now with respect to, you know, playoff position and things of that nature. And yet, somehow, here we are.
We had it written off back in May.
We really did.
It was, if you would have said, hey, yeah, there are 3 games out of a wild card slot back in May, we were like, you're crazy. Yeah, it's never going to happen.
No, I would have certainly said that, but yet, and yet, this is where we stand right now. You're 3 games behind Minnesota, and you've now overtaken the Mariners and the Red Sox. The last team standing in your way is the stupid Minnesota Twins somehow.
Oh, boy.
And you have a 3-game set coming up against them here in the not-too-distant future, so you might get to make up some ground then.
Now, that
being said, they're 3 games out of the wild card, but apparently Fangraphs has them with a 9.8% chance to make the playoffs this year.
Albeit through a wild card spot? Or
correct.
Okay.
Yeah, just a overall.
9.8?
A less than 10% chance of making the playoffs this season.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance, but it does kind of beg the question, which number are you buying here? Are you buying the 3 games out of the wild card with how many games left to go? You're looking at 17 games left to go. You buy that 3 games out and overtaking that, or are you buying that there's such a minimal chance of them making the playoffs, a less than 10% chance? Like, which number's got your attention
well,
right now?
I am the optimist, so I would...
The Captain Silver Lining
Captain
in this radio
Silver
show.
Lining. So I'm definitely going with the 3 games behind, because when they create a sports schedule, they're smart. They know things are going to come down to the wire. It's not just MLB. It's NBA, NHL, NFL. So you see a lot of divisional matchups towards the end of the season, and that is smart, because that for the teams that are, you know, just nail-biting, a razor-thin kind of margin between making the playoffs and not, that's some exciting sports.
And to your point, there are two of those coming up. Minnesota was not one of them. I was wrong there. But you are going to face Kansas City for 3 games. And
Cleveland, right?
No, Chicago.
Chicago. Oh.
You finished the season at home against Chicago.
Well, that bodes well.
How do you like that?
I'd rather they play the Twins and really, you know, because, I mean, if you can sweep a 3-game series against the Twins, there's your 3 games back.
I mean, that would certainly take care of that problem right there and there. But such as it is, you get to beat up on the White Sox to finish the season, which I rather like, and the season on a high note.
Yeah.
Against a team that might be the worst of all time. They'll never get...
They actually win the record of being the worst team of all time and then sweep the Tigers. What?
Don't even start with beyond that. They've got a 3-game set against the Oakland A's. Coming up, okay, they play one more game against Cleveland, and they have 3 against Oakland. They're at 113 right now. They are currently now 8 games away from being the standalone worst team of the modern era. Oh, they're in action right now. That's right. I forgot about that.
Well, look at there.
Let's do a live look into that game as that is getting underway. Oh, Cleveland's already up 5-1 in the bottom of the third.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
That's our White Sox.
Well, I mean, now I'm looking at the schedule because you've piqued my interest. The Twins, and looking at their schedule, they're
playing the Angels tonight. That's the series they're currently in the middle of, and they
could take that series.
They could. They won last night, 10-5.
But then they're against Cincy,
who are meh, but not terrible. Then they got to go to Cleveland for 4.
Yeah. And then the Red Sox.
Which are not exactly going to fall over for them by any means. Then the Marlins, who were terrible.
Baltimore.
Then the Orioles.
Yeah, so I mean, are we finding ourselves rooting for the Guardians and the Orioles? Not the Red Sox, because we both know the answer on that one. But I mean, the Guardians and the Orioles?
Absolutely. Like, I never thought I'd say I'm rooting for Cleveland for anything.
The Guardians of the Galaxy and the Big O's?
I find myself having to root for an Ohio team 7 days in a row. I feel so dirty inside.
Yeah, it's
it ain't right.
Weird time we're living in.
These are truly indeed strange times, my friend.
Apparently, we're all eating cats now. Oops, no, I'm sorry. Oh, somebody was
they're eating all the pets.
They're eating all the cats. They're eating all the dogs.
Vote for Elf 2024.
Hey, kill me. Ah. His running mate, Elf.
That's not a bad Elf, by the way. But no, you're right, though. When you're looking at the schedule, it certainly seems to favor the Tigers at this point when it comes to the Guardians, where the last team you really have to overtake and, well, maintain pace with at this point. Like, I could see them losing the series to the Guardians and the Orioles.
Sure.
Honestly, even the Red Sox. The Marlins and the Reds should be pretty easy to walk over, but that's about it. There are certainly plenty of losable games, I guess, for the Twins in this last home stretch of the schedule.
Well, I mean, just that alone, I think that gives them more than less than 10% chance of the Tigers. I mean, less than 10% chance of making the playoffs.
I would say so. But apparently the people who spend all the time crunching numbers and predicting these things don't seem to think that way. I don't care because I see there's one number that is absolutely real right now that is completely factually accurate, and that is that the Tigers are 3 games out of a wild card spot,
yep.
17 games left to go in the season, and the schedule favors them more than it does the Twins. So that's what I'm going with. I'm here for meaningful baseball in September for the first time in a decade, damn near. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it.
Yep.
You've finally won me over. You got me on this silver lining nonsense. Now don't let me down. Much to do today. Stick around. It is happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. The Foo at your local alternative Solid State Radio, and I'm not sure if you've been following the latest with Dave Grohl.
Oh, my God. Are you trying to tell me a rock star? Sean, are you trying to tell me that a rock star had an extramarital affair?
I know it's shocking, Adam. I know this might be hard for you to believe. But yes, that is what happened.
And he knocked a woman up.
He sure did.
But you know what? He came clean. He's like, yep, here's what I did. Now I got to win the confidence of my wife back. And, you know, it sucks that he made that dumb decision. Because it is a dumb decision. But the fact that everybody wants to cancel him, and I'm so disappointed in Dave Grohl. I'm so disappointed. And, I mean, on one hand, I get it. He always seems to, like, the nice guy. Rock star.
I mean,
the nice guy.
He's the one guy left and, you know, who has that reputation of, like, everybody likes this guy except, like, a handful of, like, edgelords and right-wingers, mostly.
Yeah, right.
And no one really cares about what either of them think. Hi, Knights at Solid State Radio. did I say that out loud? But
but the people that want Dave, all these women and, well, people, right-wingers in general, they want Dave Grohl canceled. Oh, my God. He needs to be gone. I can't believe he would do this. I said, do you realize up and down the world of music, there is atrocities that, oh, you like Stairway to Heaven? Let me sit you down and talk to you about Led Zeppelin. Oh, you like Dream On from Aerosmith? Who doesn't like Dream On from Aerosmith? Let me explain something to you.
You love Stranglehold? Yeah, so do I. Let me tell you some things about Uncle Tad.
The Rolling Stones? Oh, yes, absolutely. You know Mackenzie Phillips, who went on One Day at a Time when she was 14? Yeah, her and Mick Jagger. Yeah. That's isn't he a sweet, nice English gentleman now?
Oh, yeah, you like it when they play Rock and Roll Part 2 at stadiums. Let me tell you some things.
Oh, yeah, you're going to want to sit down for this one.
Yeah.
Well, it goes way back, like Screaming Jay Hawkins. They found out he had like 75 kids.
Oh, my God.
And I don't think those were all marital. I think some of them were extramarital.
I'm guessing probably so.
I put a spell on you, but I won't put a condom on. Yeah, I mean, it was like Ted Nugent. Somebody's parents made him their 14-year-old daughter's guardian. So
don't get him started on Jerry Lee Lewis now.
Oh, Jerry Lee Lewis. Of all the 13-year-olds in the world, you had to pick your cousin.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, we're not making excuses or justifying Dave Grohl doing that, but I mean,
there's to act so astonished, to act so surprised. I mean, come on.
I mean, I get that he's like the last, like, one of the few people that, like I said, most people can agree on, like, he's a genuinely good dude. We like this dude. Like, he's...
Yeah.
Like, there's a handful of those people in the world. Like, he was up there with, like, you know, Keanu Reeves, basically, on, like, the list of people that everyone just... that nobody hates this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even a big Foo Fighters fan, admittedly, but I like Dave Grohl. And I still like him, but, you know, did he make a bad move? Sure. Yes, he did. But, I mean, everybody's like... I love Culture Club. Boy George is such a great guy. But, you know, you realize he did put a guy in a... he kind of kidnapped a guy and had him chained up in his house. I was like, do you really want to hurt me? Shut up. I'll open the door later. I mean, it's just... We could spend the rest of the show just talking about all the bad things that have happened in the world of music. But...
Right.
To, like...
This one rates pretty low on the scale of rock stars doing, you know, terrible things.
He cheated on his wife and had a... extramarital, but you know what? He owned up to it, and someone tells me, I mean, he's going to be just fine. I mean, he's going to be probably a good father. And you know what? Like Liv Tyler, she was a product of an extramarital affair kind of thing, and here she's, you know, an actress.
Exactly. Even if she did end up with a member of Space Hog.
Yeah. Well, she wanted
a questionable decision at best.
Well, I want to be with a musician, but not one that's going to stand the test of time. I just, you know, a flash in the Space Hog. There you go. Was all the members of Toadies taken?
I have put Space Hog and the Toadies on the apology list. Probably should. I mean, if you want to make sure that, you know, no one's going to forget about me when I, you know, marry a rock star, like that's the way to do it. Like,
are they still together?
I think they are.
I can't remember that cat's name, but Liv Tyler.
Royston Langdon, I believe.
Royston Langdon. That's the most British name I've ever heard in my life.
Royston
Langdon Esquire, Sir Royston.
There's a J in there somewhere, too. You know, like a third or a junior or something of that sort. Let me go and Google that for you in the meantime.
I will. I do know my brother had a friend who was working at the palace. And this was like... They are still together. God bless them.
Well, I mean, you know, the two main guys in the band are brothers, so to be fair, it'd be... unless it was like an Oasis kind of thing, you gotta imagine that they are probably going to be in it for the long haul.
Well, I mean, so... But Liv and Royston are still a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do believe so. Yeah. No, they divorced back in 08, I guess.
Oh, wow. Okay. In the meantime, I'm going to pay alimony.
I mean, that's the...
In the meantime. Now we got to hear that song.
Right. Here's Space Hog at your local alternative solid state radio. Delvers on pickups at your local alternative solid state radio. So I guess apparently they're not waiting until the investigation's done to hand Sharon Moore his new deal. 5 years. I'm not sure what the terms of the contract are necessarily, although I would imagine that... There would be a rather hefty penalty if it turns out that, he gets snared in this the ongoing scandal in the investigation into Connor Stallion's gate.
Mm-hmm.
But he has officially signed a deal. There's no word yet. All we know is it's for 5 years, for whatever it might be worth.
They're basing this on what? Against Texas?
I know that wonderful that great game they played.
What was it? Fresno. They're like, oh, this is our guy. This is definitely that game with Fresno, and they're probably all ink to paper. And then they play Texas, and he lays an egg.
I mean, I'm going to say right now, I don't necessarily blame Sharon Moore on. I mean, I do blame part of that on him, but that's just not having your right guys and. Right place, whatnot. Like, you can't help with it. Davis Warren's just not a good quarterback. That's not his fault.
No.
And certainly all of the...
I'm doing the best I can, guys.
And certainly all of the stuff that's going around, all the distractions that admittedly that school and that program created for themselves are not helping matters as far as recruiting the talent they need to replace all the guys that bolted for the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say that that's his fault, and certainly I'm not going to say that he's not a good coach, as truthfully, I absolutely believe that he is a good football coach, and Michigan would have really regretted it had they let him go. Had they just let him go off to some other school.
It's just not their year. It's probably going to be one of those things where rebuild through new students coming in.
Yeah, new recruits, the new transfer portal, yes, whatever.
I was trying to think of the term, but it just wasn't working. If anybody who thought that U of M was going to go back-to-back, sorry about your luck.
Yeah, and I don't think that was really a realistic expectation for anybody, ultimately. It shouldn't have been. I mean, anyone with a brain in their head. Uh-huh. So, no. Like, this was always inevitably going to happen. I did certainly think that there was a possibility that things were being held off because of the investigation, but ultimately there was no way that this wasn't going to be done, and sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Here's Panic at the Disco. It's Solid State Radio. Green Day, your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour here on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon.
I know. Relish these days, because pretty soon it's going to be rainy. And I'm a fall person. I'm a fall guy. I like that, but it's also a lot of rain, a lot of clouds, a lot of wind. You think of fall, you think it's going to be nice and crisp and walking around and hearing the leaves crunch underneath your feet. But no, a lot of it is wet.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Would you like a little bit of an update on a certain Red Wing who still has yet to sign a long-term deal?
Yes, please.
So from David Pagnotta from the fourth period, evidently...
I don't know who he is.
The fourth period, I want to say that's... Pagnotta's kind of an NHL insider of sorts.
I believe in senior year, that was geometry.
Either way, he reported last week that Detroit and Raymond's camp are concentrating on a long-term contract as opposed to a short-term bridge deal. The two sides remain in discussions. Quote, they aren't there yet, but they're talking a lot and trying to hammer away and get this done. The focus is still on long-term and talks have gained traction, but they're still grinding away at it.
We talked about this a couple weeks, maybe a week ago. That's the way Steve Yzerman is probably going for. He wants that long-term deal because he expects these players to really progress. He expects them to be part of the next Stanley Cup winning team. He doesn't want them to be. He doesn't want to be in this situation in two or three seasons. But if you're Raymond or Sider, yes, okay. I was making $900,000 or in some change for my entry level deal. Yeah, you're not going to pay me $4 million and then for the next 6-7 years. I'd rather $4 million for the next 3 years, and then let's renegotiate and let's get that, you know, Connor McDavid or that Leon Draisaitl money.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be something the free agents would rather like. Yzerman would probably prefer to lock him up long term. Report on Sider as well. Like Raymond, I can confirm the Wings are also working/focused on long term contract with Sider as well. And like Raymond, there's still work that needs to be done before a new deal is finalized, but the wheels are in motion on both. Pardon the pun.
Good. Oh, the pun.
What a
funny guy. Stop with the jokes and proofread your stuff. I read a lot of those online articles. You guys need a spell checker.
Well, because the stuff you're reading is like the websites are like, WingsFan, 1997 dot blogspot dot whatever. Like,
dot Wix.
Yeah.
No, okay, point taken. Shut up. But, I mean, yeah, they'll get it done. I just hope it's not going to hurt too much for any kind of progression, because the team is on the upper trajectory, and they're going to get things taken care of. I was hoping Max Pacioretty was going to be really kicking the tires for the Red Wings, no pun intended. But it sounds like he's getting a PTO from the Maple Leafs, so we'll see what happens there. But as far as Sider and Raymond...
Did he drop off that much that that's what he's resorting to?
I guess. I mean, he was with he won a cup with the Knights, I do believe. I know he was with Habs for a while. He has dropped off, because I can't remember.
He didn't win the cup with Vegas, I don't think.
No?
No, they won their cup the season after he left.
Oh, okay.
So last year with the Capitals, 47 games played, 4 goals, 19 assists.
Oh, okay. Maybe he has dropped off, because I forgot he played for the Caps. Quite frankly,
I forgot he played for Carolina before that.
Wow. I don't remember that at all.
Because he only played 5 games with a bunch of jerks.
Okay.
To be fair, he hasn't played a full slate of NHL games at this point since the 1920 season.
Well, that means Maple Leafs, in their storied hockey franchise, will sign him to a 9-year deal.
That'll be worth like $10 million a year.
$10 million a year, and then, you know, the rest of all the young people will just have to take a very small pittance of a salary, just knowing that they're playing for the Maple Leafs, because everybody wants to play for the Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah, of course. Everyone wants to be on the Maple Leafs.
I want to play for the Maple Leafs.
I actually don't want to play for the Maple Leafs. I'll be the one.
And you would be a better prospect than I would, because you can actually ice skate.
Yeah, but that's still only, you know, slightly better, in that I'm not particularly great at it. I mean, it's also a lot of not having done it very often in the last decade or so.
I've never been on ice skates in my life, but I'm like, come on, guys, let's go. Come on. I'll be the Rudy for the Maple Leafs.
I want to get this man on ice skates just once.
Yeah, you better get a camera, because it's going to be gold.
Oh, yeah, it's immediately getting uploaded to YouTube once we're done. Don't you worry.
You know what? I would very much... that's what I should have done for my 50th, find a way to get onto a hockey rink. I've never been on a hockey rink. And
we could do that literally any time. There's a Crystal Fieldhouse over in Burton has open skate on one of their sheets of ice all the time.
And do they have skate rental? Because I'm not buying...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
We can do this.
A certain brand. It's got to be the Nike White Lightnings that Sergei Fedorov used to wear in the 90s.
Well, they ain't going to be quite that nice. you get what you pay for, man. Mm-hmm. I need to actually probably dig out mine. Like, I had a decent pair of Bowers that I haven't probably worn in, I don't know, since like possibly before COVID.
Oh, okay.
Like they're really nice. Got them on, like, it was a Black Friday deal of all things.
Really?
Like, you know, 1 year I buy a deep fryer, next year hockey skates. Why not? Because
after using the deep fryer, I can't fit in the hockey skates.
But, like, do you know how goddamn expensive hockey skates are, man? Like,
yes.
They ain't cheap, and this pair is, like, under $50 on sale.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, you're a big hockey fan. You got Joey now. You're going to get him in hockey? I'm like, no. He's playing soccer.
Oh, no. Don't make him play soccer.
Wants to play hockey, I'll have to get a second job, because it's not just the equipment, it's also ice time, it's this and that, and yeah, it's a mess, but
you know what, it's all worth it when you raise yourself the second coming of Dylan Larkin.
the way my kid is, he's the second coming of Jordan Tutu, this violent kid.
I mean, you know, that could work for you, though. Maybe get you the next Darren McCarty, man.
Yeah. I'd be like, no, kiddo, no, you don't hit your own team. No, hit the other people, the other colored jerseys. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Good I mean, Lord. He does already like hockey, right?
He does like hockey. He likes hockey, and he was watching the Lions with me for a little while. Then he passed out. But, yeah, he likes hockey.
See, this could work.
Yeah.
There's something in this. I'm already seeing the wheels turning here. We could make your kid into the hockey superstar you never were.
Yeah. I couldn't even try. Unless it's EA Sports NHL, then I am fantastic.
Then he's the best. Best,
yes, right.
Best general manager of the National Hockey League,
no,
I tell you what.
No, it's the be a player mode. You can actually make yourself as a player, and then you'll go through there, and you have to deal with the press. You have to deal with other teammates, negotiate deals, and... It's a whole to-do. And then you play hockey every once in a while.
It's pretty fantastic.
Do I play online? No, because I'd lose.
Well, yeah, you have a hard enough time with that on, what, Grand Theft Auto or whatever it is online?
I get owned by 14-year-olds on Grand Theft Auto.
Well, that's your first mistake, is you're playing online on Grand Theft Auto.
I love it, though. I love it. Sometimes on Grand Theft Auto, I'll do things just so those kids can blow me up. Like, you can buy a blimp. And you just fly around the town in the blimp. Yeah, you're dead. and if when I had a headset, the kids were like, "Oh my god, it's a blimp! Let's blow it up!" You blew me up, you little bastard. I can't believe you did that. How old are you? Old enough to date your mother. I'm going to fight. Oh, yeah, Dorothy. I know we got to go to a break. I apologize. But I'm playing GTA, and I'm yelling at this kid. Not really yelling, but yelling. I'm like, I'm going to find out who you are, marry your mother, just so I can make you go out and cut the goddamn lawn. He's laughing. Dorothy wasn't.
Oh, yeah, she has not find it nearly as hilarious as we do, I guess. Add her to the apology list.
Yeah, she should be a permanent fixture.
Really, yeah. It is happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. Elle King at your local alternative Solid State Radio. And
Elle King, did you know she's a daughter of Rob Schneider?
Oh, isn't that guy that did that movie where he played a carrot or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. Rob Schneider.
Apparently, which I don't know if you saw that whole thing with them where he's kind of trying to go back on how awful of a parent he apparently was.
Douchebag parent he was. I mean, he was in his 20s. I think he had another kid outside of wedlock or whatever. And, you know, she's like, I don't.
Like, he apparently wasn't present in her life. To hear her tell it, wasn't present in her life at all other than, like, he sent her to fat camp one summer. Like,
yeah, the guy, everything I've heard post-SNL or off screen,
it's not so great with him.
No, he's not winning. So I've got something breaking news over here. We were talking hockey, and I kind of want to keep that thing going because I love it so much. The Columbus Blue Jackets, they've signed they've signed Jeremy Swayman to a 4-year offer sheet worth $8.7 million a year. 8.7. Worth it? Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, so he is a restricted free agent, so that means Boston has to match it. I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it.
So
is Boston seriously going to get screwed out of having a starting goalie at all? Like, you had two of the best in the league last year.
You had number one and number two in goaltenders, and now, you know.
And now you're not going to have either one next year.
Well, I don't know. I mean, on the porn machine, can you bring up the salary cap for the Boston Bruins? Can they afford 8.7?
I don't know if they can, to be honest with you.
Because they'd have to match it. If they can't, then that is not boding well for the Bees.
No, certainly not. It
bodes well for another Atlantic team that we root for by the name of the Red Wings. But, you know.
Yeah, there's certainly that. That's nice. Nice. I'd rather have I'll take anything that makes a rival team worse.
Sure, absolutely.
Big fan of that.
That's why I kind of hope Max Pacioretty does make it to the Red Wing. I mean, to the Maple Leafs. But
so Boston, as far as cap space goes, look, go for the 24-25 season.
Sure.
They have. Oh, would you look at that? SpotTrack really does not like the mobile format. Okay, the cap space that they have left. 8.6 mil.
The Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm sorry, that is brilliant. To where they actually is 8.6. Their offer sheet was 8.7.
Was it? Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Oh, Columbus Blue Jackets, you've been a perennial dumpster fire for the last 23 years. But oh, never change.
Please never change. It's so much more fun this way.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
Just it really just warms the cockles of your heart, doesn't it?
I mean, it's either they're going to bankrupt the Boston Bruins or,
which I'm fine with,
Columbus Blue Jackets, who probably have a lot of salary cap. They've got a great goaltender coming their way.
One of the two. Either way, I'm 110% here for it.
And my respect for the Blue Jackets just raised ever so slightly. I mean, what a troll.
That's, I know. It's so damn perfect. The fact that they're doing this and just doubling down on just being the biggest trolls in the league. Yeah. I love it. I would like to see more of this out of you.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Keep up the good work, Columbus.
Yeah.
Remember, the whole NHL is counting on you.
We'll see you in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, no, we won't. Here's Eddie Vedder at Solid State Radio. Hey, Adam, how judgy are you feeling today?
So judgy.
Well, want to do some judging then?
Sure.
How about a little bit of Am I the A-Hole? We have not done this in a while.
It's been a while. In fact, I think you're kind of an A-Hole for not bringing it up.
I know. I'm a terrible co-host for that, and I don't apologize for it. Am I the A-Hole for hooking up with a married woman and causing her divorce?
Just from the synopsis there, I'm going to say yes. But please proceed.
And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Okay.
I, 21-year-old male, have been hooking up with a woman, 32-year-old, for about 6 months.
Cougar hunting.
Hey, don't knock it.
Nope.
It started as something casual. We met through a mutual friend at a party, hit it off, and things escalated from there. I knew she was married, but she told me she was in an unhappy marriage and was planning to leave her husband.
Oh, of course.
She made it sound like the divorce was already a done deal, so I didn't feel too guilty about it. Uh-huh. We continued seeing each other, mostly late at night or during the time she said her husband was out of town. I'll admit, it was exciting at first. I was young, she was older, and it felt like something out of a movie. But things started getting serious when she began texting me constantly and wanting to spend more time together. She would vent about how terrible her husband was and how she couldn't wait to be free from him. A few weeks ago, her husband found out about us.
Oh,
he was devastated and immediately filed for divorce. She called me in tears, blaming me for everything.
Oh, my God.
She said if it weren't for me, her husband wouldn't have left her, and now she has nowhere to go and nothing to her name. She even suggested I should take responsibility and help her out since I, quote, ruined her life.
Okay.
She has two kids, a 10-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter.
Oh, man.
She claims her husband is going to fight for full custody, and it's all my fault that her kids might end up living with him instead of her. I don't understand how that is. But
oh, my God.
She says because of me, her life is falling apart, and her children might grow up without their mother around. I feel bad about the situation, but I think it's unfair for her to put all the blame on me. I didn't force her to cheat. I wasn't the one who filed for divorce. I'm also not in a position to support her financially or emotionally. I'm still trying to figure out my own life.
Yes.
So am I the a-hole for hooking up with a married woman and causing her divorce?
No. No, you are not. No. She is completely in the wrong here. Because first of all, that period of time after my divorce or during the period thereof, when I was single, you end up running into a lot of women who all of a sudden is like, oh, yeah, I'm married, but it's just not going well. It's not really. I hooked up with this one woman, and she was, my husband's not even allowed to be in my house. We're getting divorced, and he would, he's done this, he's done that. I was like, well, I'm going to pick you up for a movie, and all of a sudden she would get a migraine like right before I showed up. And you deal with it. I mean, and women, yes, before you start spouting off, yes, there's a lot of guys out there, too. It's like, oh, yeah, we're married, but it's just not going well. You know, it's, you know, it doesn't matter on gender. We're all trash. So this guy hooks up with this woman, and it was not rape. It was reciprocal.
It was consensual.
It was consensual. It was, and it sounds like it went on for a while. She got caught. She's not going to own up to any of her misdeeds, so it's all his fault.
Yeah, how dare you make me go and F you?
How bad am I? Am I the a-hole for, like, really kind of deep diving into the thought that maybe she was kind of, like, making him make all the money, leaving her with nothing? And, you know, once they divorced, she was just basically the housewife that was just, you know, oh, I'm so bored with my current life of being a mother and a wife that I'm going to go find a cougar cub at a party and have a nice little affair with him. Now, you know, the husband, this is the real victim of the whole story. He finds out his wife is cheating on him, files divorce immediately. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And going for full custody. Good for him.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, she comes to him saying, hey, you owe me. You owe me. No, I don't owe you anything.
Not
I don't
at
owe
all.
You, I don't owe you one thing. You're in your 30s. I'm in my 20s. You know what this was. And I know that's like the saying guys usually tell women, you know what this was. But she was married.
How could she not know? You were literally married and and asking this guy to carry on an illicit, you know,
liaison.
Yeah, that. Like, you can't really sit and say that, oh, this isn't any of my fault at all. Like, yeah. I had nothing to do with this. That's dumb.
This is terrible. She's making it sound like he seduced her. And let's just, for a moment, say that's true. Okay, maybe he saw her at a party. She was hammered. He hooked up with her. But then it kept going. It kept going. At some point, she's the older woman. She should have more sense to say, I'm married. I shouldn't be doing this. But she didn't. She wanted more time with him. She kept texting him, I want more time with you. Let's go to the farmer's market. Let's do this. Let's do a bunch of couple stuff. And then I'm going to go home to my husband. Oh, great. Okay, so yeah, you're going to bag me, and then you're going to go to bag your husband. And then he finds out, and all of a sudden, now I'm the bad guy. He's right. The bad guy. Maybe... Sweetheart, you're the bad guy.
I mean, this is why you don't go screwing around with married anybody anyway. Like, you know, I've seen this happen where people try and have, in the past, my single friends, you know, married women will come up and want to hit on them, or people try to set them up with somebody who's married. Like, why are we even doing this? Why are we even here?
Yeah.
None of this is in any kind of sense. I clearly, you're not single. That's kind of an issue for me. I know someone's carrying on or was carrying on with a married woman, like, almost like she was like, weird thing is, this one was almost like trying to get caught.
Yeah. But some people are like that. It's not just women. It's let me get caught so there's a reason I can get out of this marriage without saying, you know, irreconcilable differences.
Which is stupid in itself, because especially if there are kids involved, why would you wait on him to do the leaving and the filing for divorce?
Yeah.
Because now you're going to get boned in the divorce. Like, yeah, I left her because I literally caught her cheating on me. Mm. You think that's going to go well with the custody battle, or, you know, hope of retaining any of your stuff? I
mean, we need to get a lawyer on the show right now, because there is a difference between who leaves who first in the relationship, if they file for separation or whatever. If he left... and he has no absolute proof that she's cheating on him, then he abandoned the relationship, and she could win out. That is entirely possible.
Really?
Yep.
How does that work?
He would have to prove infidelity. He would have to prove it. Otherwise, I mean,
he walked in on her giving it to another, you know, another guy giving it to her.
Do you have it in 4K, 1080p? Footage. Otherwise, you know, we can't beat off to it, and we can't.
Wow.
Case dismissed.
Truly, the legal system at work.
Well, I mean, okay, let's look at it from a different standpoint. I want to leave Dorothy, but I can't because she's a fantastic woman, a great mother, and everything else. But I'm just going to go ahead and say, I caught her in a...
The car's running. Let's go.
Yeah, I caught her in a threesome with some of the hottest women I've ever seen in my life. But that's cheating, so I'm out. They're like, well, where's your proof? It's in my mind. It's what I whack. You know, you know, it's you know,
it's what I think about every night before I, you know, pass out. So,
yeah, it's Dorothy, Scarlett Johansson, and everything else. And I'm just appalled. So I'm leaving this marriage. Do you have any proof? No, I don't. So how do we know this is happening? Dorothy, has this happened? No, it hasn't. He's just a pervert. So, you know, you have to have proof that you're being cheated on. Otherwise, you have to go with the irreconcilable differences, and the judge is going to be like, okay, 50-50.
Yeah, there's
cut the house in half, the kids in half. And
yeah, but if you're smart about it, there's ways to, you know, to figure that out. Like, there has, you know, if there's text somewhere, or emails, mm-hmm. or whatever.
This,
like,
is true. This is true.
It's not like it's an impossibility to prove.
And
certainly,
one of the biggest growing professions is the private investigator.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I watched plenty of episodes of Cheaters. I know how this works. Yeah.
Did you watch the one where the guy got stabbed on the boat?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, just the other night.
I mean, because this stuff kind of happens. Now it kind of jiggles my memory. I remember I hooked up with this one woman in 2004-ish, something like that. And, yeah, we met at a gig, and the marriage isn't going well. He's just not a good guy. And I'm like, okay, all right. So we're hooking up. And then they come out to a gig, because we met at a gig. You met all the bad women at a gig.
It's true.
She shows up at this gig we're doing in Flint with her husband, and you know we're all kind of a big table and everything else, and we're going. And the husband pulls me aside, and I'm like, "Oh God, here we go. Oh, you need to see my wife's blank, blank.
What?
Hey, honey, come on, show him your blank." Like, oh, I've seen them. There's my teeth marks right there.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was a really roughed up time.
So what, did she think that it would be better off to tell you that the marriage isn't going well than just to be like, well, we're swingers?
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe, because I didn't have...
Maybe he gets off on that.
Maybe. Because he almost kind of like gave me permission. That. And then it's just like...
Then it just got weird and I wasn't interested anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like... Yeah.
I couldn't even get it up anymore knowing that he's okay with this.
Oh, no. It was like shooting pool or rope. Dude, can you just like sit off in the corner or something like that? Yeah.
You're really making this weird for me, man.
Put the camera down.
I'm sorry. You just made this weird, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to need you to leave.
Yeah. Anyway, I've aired a lot of my dirty laundry. Let's go to a break, shall we?
Sure, why not? It's Happy Hour at your local alternative, Salisley Radio.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is Happy Hours. We get set to get out of Dodge on, holy hell, the 7th anniversary of this nonsense?
Yep.
Good Lord, I can't believe we've made it this long.
It's another anniversary, but I can't remember what it is.
Well, think about it. We'll talk about tomorrow at 3.